Hallelujah! And we will rise with him. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and all that is within us, bless your holy name. Bless you, Master. We lift our hands and surrender to you, Master. For we have tried and we have failed every time. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because we are more than conquerors. And no weapon formed against us will prosper. And every time the tongue that rises up against us will be condemned. And whatever we decree will come to pass. And wherever we step, your kingdom will be manifested. And whatever we touch will prosper. Because it is time. It is now. And you are the God of now. Master, we ask for your forgiveness of every area where we've offended you. Wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence, fill us, and increase our faith. Open eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive. Let the anointing break every yoke of bondage. Lead us by your Spirit that our flesh should be crucified. Let no flesh glory, but only your Spirit. Bringing glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bringing glory and honor and praise and worship to the name that is above all names, Jesus. Jesus. Go ahead, just lift your hands to heaven. Afrachela miyaro moshonda galaviyaro moshonda kasia. Adurabo tuta frapo koso. We bless you, Father. We call on your name and we surrender our lives. Bring revival to the body of Christ, Master. Bring revival to the hearts of your people. Melt the walls of denominations and unity in your Spirit. Bring revival to this country. Bring revival to Jerusalem and Israel in peace. And continue to expose and remove those officials, organizations, terrorist cell groups and governments globally that are persecuting your people and coming against your will, Lord. But put your servants in position because it's time. It's time. Oh, the world has no idea that it's our time. It's our time. And to Jesus be all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. I'll go give somebody a hug and tell them this is your night because it's time. Hallelujah! How's everybody? Praise God. This is the night that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in what? Be glad in it. Hallelujah. And it's a wonderful night to what? Well, of course. The Bible says that the Lord enjoys the death of his saints. Yes, he does. You know, there is a change and a shift, and there is a new cycle. In this, you know, number 8 means new beginnings, and when there's new beginnings, it doesn't always mean it's going to be great. It just says new beginning. Sometimes that new beginning is an area where God's going to bring you through to loose you from you. People always think that a new beginning is, oh, I got a new beginning, yes, let's get it. No, sometimes it'll be your worst time. See, when he says new beginning, it means it's new. Because he's trying to bring you from old to new. So what you were comfortable with, he begins to remove. He begins to remove the uncomfortable things. He begins to expose your dirty laundry. And that which is clean, he teaches you to fold. And, you know, we just celebrated the Feast of Trumpets. And 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets is the Feast of Atonement. And I want you to begin to look at this prophetically because 10 is a representation of a cycle. If you notice that Jesus was with in the wilderness for 40 days. Moses was with the Lord 40 days. Israelites were in bondage for 40 years. All of these are associated things by 10 or cycles prophetically. And we will reign for 1,000 years and it will start another cycle. In fact, even tithe is a representation of 10%. Why? So it can start a what? Another cycle. Because what you sow is what you reap, right? And in this, the Feast of Trumpets means New Year. It's the Hebrew New Year. So for the Hebrew New Year, it's already started what we call 2010. Is everybody with me? In other words, our calendar hasn't reached there yet, but the Hebrew year has. But prophetically, there's a whole other change. There's another shift. And I really truly believe that in 2009, it was administrative gifting and so forth. 9 also representation of birthing. But 9 is done. 8 was a new beginning. 2009 is done. 2010 is coming. But again, prophetically, 2010 is already here. And in that, I truly believe in the area that there's going to be a release. And there's going to be a tremendous release. And those things that we were pregnant with at his birth is going to come. But there's something very, very important that we need to be positioned, and we need to hear his voice. Because if you can't hear his voice and nobody's telling you to do, those areas won't come to pass. Are you listening? And that's why it's so important about fellowship and so forth. So in this, we want to be able to hear the voice of God so that we know exactly what to do, and we need to cry out for wisdom so we know what to do. You know, many of us have gone through many trials and tribulations, and all of that was just a preparation to get you in position sometimes. And again, I just want to share with you that, you know, we call 10 as a, prophetically, as a cycle. It's a, what we call a decade. And one of the things that's happening right now is there's a fight that's going on, but it's over land. We see that there's the fight is over Israel, the land. The fight is over this land right now. People are rising up over land. And in this land that there's a fight for is called covenant land. In other words, Israel's a covenant land. It's a promised land, isn't it? United States is actually a covenant land and a promised land. But what's happening right now is the rulers are not covenant children. Israel's covenant children. But United States, the rulers of this country are no longer in rule of. The rulers are not covenant. Are you listening? So there is a battle that's going on tremendously. Israel's trying to attack the promised land with the covenant children. So what's in rule is covenant children there. Are you listening? But in this country right now, it's not covenant rule on a covenant land. That's why eventually it will be lost. But God has a plan. And I want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we were going to be talking about last day's series. And this is the second part I want to talk about. And it's important that we get an understanding of this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, which was promised land, wasn't it? And Jerusalem, which was promised land. In verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now there are people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are what? Upon you. Now I want you to begin to look at this as not Israel and the United States is parallel. And I want to talk prophetically because when the Spirit gave me this today, he was talking about United States also. Now all Judah with your little ones, your wives, and their children stood before the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matanah, a Levite of the sons of Ashpha, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor what? Dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but what? Yes, but God's. See, we're seeing right now that there is a non-covenant ruling organization in this country. And the Lord is saying, don't be dismayed because it is a great multitude. Because the battle is not ours, it's His. Tomorrow go out down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Zid, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle, but what? Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Now, when he says you don't need to fight in this battle, he means you don't need to fight carnally. But you're going to have to fight what? Spiritually. He says, position yourselves, right? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem, and do not fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. What were they doing? Worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be what? Established. Means follow him. Believe in his prophets and you shall what? Prosper. So what's happening right now is the position is being established through praise. The battle is being established through praise. So that we can become established, positioned to prosper. Are you listening? And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who would praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were what? Defeated. for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. I would say there was a little confusion in the camp, because they killed each other. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth, and no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them the abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil, because there was so much. And I really believe prophetically, this is also, how many days were they there? 3 days. What did you remember the Pharisees and Sadducees, they asked for a sign from the Lord. And he said, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. 3 days. Right? And I really believe that this is also going to be a sign. It's going to be a sign that the body of Christ is going to prosper. I believe that in this new cycle that things are going to happen supernaturally. That there is going to be releases. Things of abundance, all kinds of things. But I'm telling you again, you must be able to hear. You must be able to listen. And you must seek His face. Why? Because that's how you receive, isn't it? The Bible says something very important. It says, if you'll seek Him with all of your heart, you'll find Him. You'll what? Find Him. Again, I want to share with you that the fight is over land of covenant, isn't it? And we know that the U.S. is a covenant land, the same as Israel, but the U.S. is ruled by non-covenant children right now. Now, but we know that covenant children are spiritually connected to Israel, aren't we? Regardless of what? We are spiritually connected to Israel. We are spiritually connected to Jerusalem, aren't we? As covenant keepers. But we're not only spiritually connected to Israel, but the new Jerusalem of heaven. We are not of the world system, but the eternal system. Our breakthrough is here, and we must have ears to break through, to establish and prosper, in preparation for our harvest and departure. For the harvest and the what? Departure. Go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Start at verse 1, please. Would you read it with me? The earth is the Lord's in all of its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. This is a covenant-keeping child. He shall receive what? Blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face. So we see that the earth is the Lord. And of course, we know that He has the last say. He even has the last say to a non-covenant ruling nation. Are you listening? He has the last say. But as covenant children, He says that He will establish us and prosper us. That's why it's so important to maintain covenant right now. It is so, so important to maintain covenant. Go to Isaiah 6. How many of y'all know that when God's getting ready to do something, the enemy attacks strongly? Why? Because what's he trying to do? Get you out of position, isn't he? One of the things he'll try to do is get you to sow in the flesh, won't he? Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." In other words, his creation. See, his creation is an expression of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am what? I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be what? Healed." Then I said, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. Then the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet, a what? A tenth, another cycle, a remnant, will be in it. And I will return and be for the consuming it as a terebinth tree, as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down." So the holy seed, in other words, the people of covenant, shall be its what? Stump. In other words, we will remain. We will be the remnant. Where everything else around us is going to look like there's going to be disaster and desolation and everything else going on, we who are covenant keepers will be the remnant and fall into this new cycle that God is getting ready to release in a mighty way. Is everybody okay? Others will be under condemnation, will be under judgment. Things are going to seem to be okay, but they're not okay. There's more and more exposure daily, isn't there? We're about to see some really big things begin to happen. But there will be persecution. There'll be criticism. There'll be all kinds of things that will come against us. But we will prevail, break through, and prosper, and assist in the huge harvest and prepare for our departure. Hallelujah. Why? Because the whole earth, the Lord created the earth. His glory is through the earth because of creation, but much has been defiled. And in this, we are the remnant because we are not of the world system, are we? But we are of the eternal system. So no matter what the world is going through right now, the world system, even though that there's collapsing here, there's things, judgment here, all kinds of things are being exposed. In this transition of the cycle that we're in right now, that's all God is doing, is saying, "Come on now, listen, hang tough, establish, I'm going to prosper you." Even don't get your focus on what the world is saying. Don't get your focus on what the system is saying or your government is saying and all these other things. Hold on to me. Grab hold. Continue to worship me. Seek me. listen to me, cry out for wisdom, and I'm about to release your inheritance. In Romans chapter 8, do you remember the parable about the two brothers and the one, the prodigal son? Remember, the one wanted his inheritance now, and he went out and blew it. And he came back, and the father treated him, threw a party, and put a robe on him and a ring. And the other brother was a little jealous, like, man, what's up here? How come you did this for him? And he says, because he was dead, but now he's alive. See, one was covenant-keeping, one was a covenant-breaker, but came back. It was a representation of an Israelite and a Gentile. Are you listening? See, but we've been grafted back in. We are in. We have an inheritance. Now, is anything too small for God to do? No. Is there anything that He lacks? No. Is there anything that He can't do? Didn't Jesus say, listen, I'm going to send you my Spirit. And my Spirit is going to guide you and teach you, lead you to all truth, and He's going to do something very important. He's going to declare to you all that I have. See, we haven't seen that yet. But it's here. It's getting ready more and more to happen. You're going to see more and more. More and more. But see, you cannot get caught up in the world. You must get closer to the Lord like you've never been before. You can't allow your job to dictate your life. You must allow the Spirit to dictate your life. You can't allow anything to, and no idols, you can't allow anything to dictate your life. You must allow the Lord to dictate your life. And God is going to open places that are sometimes going to seem strange that He opens up. It's going to seem uncomfortable. It's not going to seem common sense. But the only thing you'll be led by is peace. Peace, not confusion, not fear, not anxiety, not stress. Peace. Because it's peace that surpasses all understanding. That's going to lead you into the places. And the purpose for that is so He can establish you, build credibility, and connect you. Are you listening? And connect you. Why? So that there can be a release. The Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. How is the wealth of the wicked going to get to you? He connects you. Hello. One of the areas is they're not going to know what to do. They're going to look at you as an example, as a witness, as a light, and as a truth. And then they're going to want to support what you do. Are you listening? Oh, hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8, is everybody there? In verse 1, would you read it with me? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, right? In other words, no condemning, no judgment. But it says something important. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. So if you walk according to the flesh, are you going to be considered the remnant? No. Are you a covenant keeper if you're walking according to the flesh? No. Is everybody okay? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? So how is that righteous requirement fulfilled? As we are walking what? According to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. I want you to get this because it's important, because you're going to wonder why others are getting it and you're not. How come it's being poured out here and poured out there and I'm not? Well, maybe this is one of the reasons. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and you are led by Him. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, I want you to understand something. Now, I want you to grab this connection. Why are you going to need a mortal body? I mean, why are you going to need an immortal aura, immortality, a glorified body? Because if you're a covenant-keeping child, you're associated with a covenant land. Are you listening? And that covenant land is Jerusalem of heaven. So you're going to need a glorified body. Are you listening? Go to Revelation 21. Glorified bodies to accommodate our relationship with New Jerusalem. All others will be condemned. Revelation 21. Every covenant-keeping child is associated with a covenant land called New Jerusalem. And verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write off, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So if you are a covenant-keeping child, you are associated with a covenant piece of property. Covenant land called New Jerusalem. Now I want you to understand again, what's all the fight over right now? It's over what? The land. Go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. They call these the Beatitudes. I call them attitudes. These are blessed attitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the what? Kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Ooh. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward, where? In heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The blessed, the covenant children. So there's something that's going to happen. In other words, we're going to see that there's going to be an increase of persecution. Are you listening? Things are going to seem rougher. But the Bible tells us that they can't touch us. Can't touch me. These are the attitudes. These are associated with warnings and preparations for sorrows that are going to come into the world and that are in the world right now. These are areas that we must maintain no matter what. Go to Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Now I said all this to get to this. Why is this going to happen? Why are these, in other words, why are all of these things going to increase? And we've talked about this scripture, but I'm going to go over it again because I want to show you why these are things have to happen. In verse 3 in Matthew 24, is everybody there? Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to him, take heed that you're not what? That no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive many, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be what? Famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. These are called the beginning of sorrows, or what we call birth pangs. Are you listening? I want you to understand that in birth pangs, when a woman is pregnant, she can have birth pangs. In other words, she can begin to go into labor. And sometimes before there's birth, there's many false labors sometimes. But there's still contractions. And in these contractions, the closer she gets to giving birth, the contractions get closer and harder. Are you listening? It's the same thing in the spirit. This is what he's talking about, the beginning of sorrows. What's going to get closer and harder? More things, more earthquakes, more famine, more pestilence, more storms. Are you listening? More poverty. All of these things are going to begin to get closer and harder. Look at the floods that's going on right now. Look at in Georgia and all the areas. Man, they've never had this stuff. I mean, they got water coming up to the second and third floor, 16 feet in certain areas of how water rose. It's happening. Look at the tsunamis. Look at the hurricanes. Look at all the things, even with Katrina and everything else. They've never seen these. We're the generation that has seen these things, and these are birth pangs. Why? Because the earth is in birth pangs. Everything, all of God's creation, something's getting ready to birth. Are you listening? So what happens during this is the contractions become closer. They get closer together, shorter, and they get harder. And harder. And that's what's happening. That's why the earth is shaking all over the world. All kinds of disasters. All kinds of things are happening. Even the heavenlies are shaking. Is everybody okay? In verse 8, then he says, and these are the beginning of sorrows, and then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will what? Grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Why? Because when that last Gentile comes in, hello. Is everybody okay? The beginning of sorrows, disasters, storms, all of these things will increase and continue to increase globally. Go to Jeremiah chapter 49. Birth pangs. It's the last day signs. Birth pangs. Jeremiah 49. You know, and if you begin to look at certain areas, a lot of these disasters and so forth are going to either bring people to God or they're going to cause an individual to hate God. And the hope is that the reality will come that they will turn to Him for help instead of run from Him. And we've talked about, even in the governments and so forth, that there's disasters in the government. See, now people are either looking for help from the government or help from God now. In Jeremiah 49 and verse 24, I think. Would you read it with me? Damascus has grown feeble. She turns to flee, and fear has seized her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her like a woman, what? In labor. Anguish and what? Sorrows have taken her like a woman in labor. Go to Micah 4. So we see that anguish and sorrows is a representation of a woman in labor, isn't it? Or what we call birth pangs. Micah chapter 4. Yes. Powerful. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 6. And that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcasts, and those whom I have afflicted. I'll make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion, from now on, even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished? For pangs have seized you like a woman in labor. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pangs. For now you shall go forth from the city, you shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go. There you will be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Now Babylon is associated just like the Roman Empire. Babylon is associated in that arena. Are you listening? Where is the great battle going on right now? In the Middle East, it's considered Babylon. Iraq and all of those areas are considered Babylon. Are you listening? And at a point in time, we know, because they are pushing for one world order, right? There'll be one world government, one world economy, and one world religion. And 99.9% will be Muslim global religion, because of the ones that are going to be beheading. They practice beheading. And in that is associated with Babylon. Are you listening? And he's saying, they were, in other words, in this, there will be birth pangs. Things are going to increase more and more and more. Actually, right now, the United States is considered Babylon, spiritually speaking. Is everybody okay? Now, in verse 11, it says, would you read it with me? Now, also, many nations have gathered against you who say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand His counsel. For He will gather them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I'll make your horn iron, and I'll make your hooves bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples. I will consecrate their gain to the Lord, and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. In other words, he's talking about the spoil again, isn't he? The wealth. And who's it for? The children of Zion. Do you understand that you are the children of Zion? If you're a covenant-keeping child, you are a child of Zion. And we'll talk more about that later, but not tonight. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Birth pangs. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Praise God, get ready. How many of y'all know that God will stretch you so you can hold more? In verse 1, would you read it with me? But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They come suddenly, don't they? And they shall not escape. In other words, they won't get time to birth. For you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. Hallelujah. So he says it's going to take them like a woman in birth pains. In other words, she never knows when that's going to come, does she? But in this, you and I are not accounted for wrath, are we? As long as we are a covenant-keeping child, we are not accounted for the wrath of God. Remember, two things are going to happen in the wilderness. What are they? The rapture and the wrath. So if you don't make the rapture, you're going through the wrath. Is everybody okay? In John 16. Is everybody there in verse 19? John 16, verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will see me, you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So something very important here. He says, listen, when a woman is getting ready to give birth, she goes through anguish, sorrow, pain. But once that child is birthed, it was all worth it. Has everybody got it? It was all worth it. Now I want to share something with you. He's talking also, and remember that the Word of God is three-dimensional, past, present, and future. And I want to talk prophetically. So in other words, she has to give birth, doesn't she? Now, a new life, in other words, there's an area where we must be born again. That's a new life, isn't it? That's birth. In other words, you went through all kinds of stuff. You had to finally come to repentance, right? Accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, so forth. But anyways, that new birth is a born again of the Spirit. So there's a new birth. There's a birth pangs that you had to go through. That birth came forth by the born again of the Spirit. And then there's another one that's going to come where it's going to be the born again or the birth of the body. In other words, you will receive a new spirit, that birth, and then you will receive a new body in that birth. And that birth is usually going to happen as an individual, you know, when he dies and then comes and gets a new body. Amen. But there's still that birth and that anguish. You know, in other words, you might not fear death, but you wonder how you're going to die. Well, God willing, nobody will. We'll all go home. Praise God. Is everybody okay? Now, I want to share something with you because this is important. The Feast of Pentecost was the birth of the church as a born again of the individual spirit. Are you listening? The Feast of Trumpets is the birth of the body. Are you listening? I want to share this again. The Feast of Pentecost is a representation of the birth of the church, or the birth of the born-again spirit, where an individual gets a new spirit. And the Feast of Trumpets is a representation of the birth of the new body. That's why we call it the rapture. But in that, there's all in between those two arenas, all kinds of stuff has been going on, hasn't there? Now go to Revelation 12. Birth pangs. Now, the Word of God is how many dimensional? Three dimensional. Past, present, future. In verse 1 it says, now what? A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Okay. Now, we know that there are constellations, isn't there? So it's talking about one of the constellations. It's called Virgo, meaning virgin. Are you listening? In other words, but this is three-dimensional. I want to share with you that is also a representation of Israel, the Virgin Mother, or Jesus, you know, Mom, and the body of Christ. Three areas. Israel, Mary, the Virgin Mother, Virgo, carries Jesus, and the body of Christ. All right, let's go a little further. In verse 2, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to what? To give birth. To give birth. Now, remember, what was the Feast of Pentecost? What did that give birth to? The church and a born again individual spirit, right? And what is the Feast of Trumpets going to do? It's going to give birth to the what? Body. Okay, in verse 3, and then another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was what? Born. As soon as it was now three-dimensional, born again. Are you listening? In other words, the devil has been trying to, since the moment you were birthed, he's been trying to prevent you and kill you so that you could never get to the first birth. Are you listening? Okay, so I want to share with you, let's see. Remember Jesus said, I'm going to give you a sign 3 days, right? Okay. In these three births, you have a physical birth, you have a spiritual birth, and then you have a birth of the body. Are you listening? And that's fulfillment. So the devil's been trying to kill you. He tried to abort you. He's been trying to kill you so you can never reach the born again birth. And now he's trying to get you out of position so you can't reach the birth of the body. Has everybody got it? Now watch this, what happens. In verse 5, so she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now who bore the male child? Where did that child come from? What country? Israel. Who bore it? Amen. Amen. Has everybody got it? Okay, now watch this. Now when Jesus died on the cross, who did he birth? The body of Christ. In other words, it was pre-established. Remember when the Lord put Adam to sleep, what did he do? He took a rib, right? And what came out of him? Woman. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, that same place where the rib was taken from Adam, he was pierced. And the area of what came out of him? Water and blood. Has everybody got it? And a representation of a spiritual birth that would come. Is everybody okay? All right, now watch this. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne. So the child, Jesus, was caught up, sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? All right. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, and she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. Is everybody okay? Now, the woman represents two things. Israel going into the wilderness and the body of Christ being raptured. Why? Because we will be raptured. And for 3.5 years, we will be in heaven. And then return on the Feast of Atonement. Is everybody okay? Is everybody all right? See, so this was three-dimensional. Now, who's trying to prevent you from getting there? Satan. He's always trying to prevent you from birthing, are you? Or fulfilling. That's why the whole world right now is in birth pangs. Everything is in birth pangs. That's why things are increasing, aren't they? Isn't time shortening? Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 18. We're doing a last day series, and the first one we talked about was a perverse generation, and this one's called birth pangs. Why? Because this is how you know it's last days. I can give you all kind of prophetic events that's going on, but there's something that's larger than just the prophetic events, something that everyone can see. You can't deny birth pangs. You can't deny disasters getting closer and closer, and you know something's about to pop. Romans chapter 8 and 18. Is everybody there? Would you read it? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be what? Compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. Yes. In other words, that suffering is birth pangs that you're going to birth a new body. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. In other words, all of creation, which is a corruption right now, because who's the world under right now? Is he a covenant-keeping dude? No. So everything's a mess, isn't it? So all creation is eagerly waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Why? The covenant kids. To come forth and take control. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with what? Birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our what? Our body. Has everybody seen this? Is everybody okay? For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he does, what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's why it's good as you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God. Because you don't know what to pray, do you? But as you pray in tongues, the Spirit prays through you. For we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also what? Glorified. Yes. The earth will be released from the rule of the non-covenant ruler and released into the covenant-keeping children. And we will be birthed with a new body and rule and reign. Has everybody got it? With Christ for 1,000 years here. 1 Thessalonians 4. So the devil does not want you to make the rapture. Do you got it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. That's why everything's birth pangs. That's why things are coming quicker. That's why you're seeing more disasters. Because everything's about to give birth soon. But first we got to get people born again, don't we? So they can go through the first birth. Verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with them those who sleep in Jesus, those who are dead. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the what? Trumpet of God in fulfilling the Feast of Trumpets. And the dead will rise, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. So we must maintain covenant, no matter what. Amen. And I want to close it, Psalm 132. Psalm 132. So if you're a covenant child, you're a child of Zion, and you are associated with a covenant land. You also have an inheritance. Psalm 132 and verse 11. Now watch this. This is powerful. The Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. For wait a minute. Who's he talking about? Us. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He's desired it for His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. And in this is where we will be. There is birth pangs right now. But all the suffering, once you get through it in your birth with your glorified body, just like the woman who gives birth to that child, no longer looks at the pain anymore. I mean, if they did, women would only have one kid, wouldn't they? Some of them only had one kid. They said, I ain't going through that again. But we aren't in the time of birth pangs. We are in a new cycle. We must be established, be positioned in preparation for prosperity. And the purpose of the prospering is to expand the kingdom of God, assist in the harvest, and get ready for departure. It's time. It is time. You know, God is calling forth from the north, south, the east, and west, all those who have turned their back on Him. And this is why we must pray for revival. Because they don't want to miss the bus out of here, man. They don't want to miss it out of here. Because if you miss the rapture, you're going through the wrath. And again, I want to share with anyone, everyone, if you miss the rapture, do not take the mark, or you'll never make it home. Do not take the mark. You'll never make it home. It's important. We must continue to fight spiritually. Continue to sow with the tongue spiritually. Worship. God will position us. Remember, the battle is the Lord's, isn't it? But we're in this battle in the area of worship, aren't we? So the ambush, He can ambush the enemies. I mean, we're seeing it now. You know, even though these birth pangs are happening, there's a lot of corruption being exposed, isn't there? All kinds of stuff is being exposed. And you're going to see more and more and more. And I truly believe that many of God's servants are going to eventually get into some of these offices. I truly believe that there's going to be a prosperity that's going to come and overwhelm the world. You know, the Bible says that God is going to use the Gentiles to bring jealousy to the Jews. Hallelujah. I believe we're there right now. I believe it's beginning right now. We are in that time, and we must be prepared in every area. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We ask for Your forgiveness of every area where we've offended You. Lord, help us to keep sensitive in clarity and in wisdom. Help us, Lord, to not be swayed in any way, but to continue to keep You first and keep You before us in everything that we do. Strategically position us that we may be ready to throw out the net to rescue Your lost people. Grant us, Father, the prosperity in our inheritance that we may be about Your business, an expansion of Your kingdom, and preparation for Your return and for our departure. Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one here tonight. I ask You to continue to visit us and grant us revelation, impartation, and a thirst and hunger for You. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.